Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you. Honestly, I am, for this April 3rd broadcast, 2021. We're going to look at the me and the you. What is this me that is me? Who is this me? What is this me? And what is this you? And what are we really talking about when we're talking about the me and the you? Not physically, but psychologically. What is me? What is you? What is I? There's all sorts of ways of looking at it. Most of us don't really spend much time with this, learning the me of the you and the you of the me and all of that. We just don't understand. It doesn't seem to matter. It isn't relative to getting what we want or living the lifestyle that we think is important or special to us. So we go through all of this me, you, I stuff and we miss. And every so often on the radio program, I'll talk about it. I talk about it intimately with my students when we're together because it's so easy to misconstrue and misunderstand. And I wait until I'm with them to talk about it so they can ask questions. But basically what it has to do with is third person. When you enter into a third person mentality, when you stand back and observe and just watch, you will start to understand this me and you thing very deeply. And you will start to also, in understanding it, realize that by getting into third person, you can actually watch how you live your life and whether or not that's you living your life or whether or not that's just living your life through, I don't know, being unconscious is probably the best way I can describe it. You know, the problem with all of this is there is no way to describe it adequately for the majority of people that listen. People assume they know. Most of the knowledge that you have and I have basically is assumed until we have the direct experience. Then once that direct experience is given, it is very, very, very difficult for people to hear it and share it who have never had that experience. So it gets kind of clumsy, to say the least. So this morning I thought it would be good for us to take a look at what this me, you, I thing is. And maybe I can clarify just a little bit. There's also a couple of other questions mingled in here that I thought were interesting. So here we are for April 3rd, hey? First question comes from Calvin. He does not tell me where he lives. He said, how do I relate to your teachings when they make no sense to me? Well, that's the problem. Trying to make sense of something that is basically otherworldly, doesn't belong in this world as one might think of it as belonging. It doesn't relate. Meditation, silence, third person, moving into the beyond, shall we say, getting beyond the beyond, doing things that are unique inside yourself, whereby you're not relating anything to the ego or from the ego. These are difficult things to do, Calvin, and they don't make any sense to the average person because they stray away from the norm, the ego. You see, what you have to understand, Calvin, is this. It is the ego that is the norm. And when people are talking to you, okay, they are generally talking to the norm of you, the ego of you. We're never really talking to each other. We're talking to each other's ego that anticipates and believes and thinks and does all sorts of crazy things that make us think that we know what we know and we are what we are. And this ego formulates a persona, a personality, then the emperor of all malice, the part of us that is mean-spirited, always protecting us, become our God, the voice that we answer to, then that starts entering into the whole situation. And then before you know it, you're schizophrenic. You and I are answering to voices and presence and entities and all sorts of things in us, whims, emotion, and we don't even know what we're doing. We have no idea what we're really, really doing, but we keep doing it. And over and over and over again, we try to hide it or we don't want to admit we're doing it. You have a secret friend inside you, you know. And that friend, be it as it is the emperor, this conceived idea of ourself, and we learn how to develop it and to make it so we have something to relate to other people. My ego talking to your ego kind of thing. My psychology speaking to your psychology. My idea of myself speaking to your idea of yourself. And that's why it doesn't always make sense to you, because your idea of yourself is different than what I'm talking about. This goes on and on and on and on in human beings. It's nothing new. Since the dawn of humankind, it has been there in all of this glory. So what you really want to do is, if you're really interested and you took the time to write me this email and explain yourself, it says to me that there is some curiosity and maybe even some sincerity for understanding beyond the ideas and ideals of what you think of as yourself. Now, once this has started to manifest in you and take place in you, then you're going to start to see things in a different light. So listen to me, and don't try to make sense. Think of it as whispers from the other shore in your ear, urging you on, reminding you, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, look here, don't look there, look here, listen to what it means to want nothing with all of your heart. Now, just that statement alone is not mine, it's the Buddha's, but just that statement alone is incredibly important. To learn to want nothing. What are our wants? Calvin, think about it. We want things to compensate for the person we've become, or to prove the person we think we've become or want to become. All of these things are there. And what do they do? Do they help me? Do they hinder me? Do they change me? Not generally. Everything that we get and have and do and say, it's all a fog inside of us. We're very vague about our livingness and where we live from. So how do you relate to what I'm teaching you when it makes no sense? That's the point of it all. Everybody in this world, from, let's say, the average person to the most important person, quote unquote, all people are important to me, but, you know, somebody who is dictating the society's path to happiness and prosperity and things like that, government, things like that. Everybody, all these people, think about them. Who are they? What are they? Who are you? What are you listening to? What is it that's really catching your ear? It will always have something to do, if you think about it, with survival. There are two things that drive humanity. One, of course, is survival, and the other is sex. You put the two together. The sex part is not only about the pleasuring part as a compensation for our need for survival and what we have to do to survive, but it is also the idea of feeling fulfilled, like there is some purpose or meaning to your body and to the egg and the sperm and that whole thing and making a human being and thinking what a miraculous thing you've done. I've had women say to me, you know, this, I can do this. I am the Wonder Woman. I make babies. Men can't. Well, idiot, you can't make one without a man. So you didn't do it on your own. You were just a facilitator, and to make it sound like you did anything spectacular or a man did anything spectacular by having intercourse is really stupid. But that's the way we are. We're Neanderthals, and we just don't really get, nor do we understand the meaning of our life and the meaning of what it is to have, let's say, a child. We like making them, and we like the idea of them, but raising them, we have no clue, because we weren't raised well. And the ones who think they were only fit into society. There's so many things to teach a child. It's a full-time job, honestly. And I don't think that most people, well, we're going down another path there, and I won't go there, but there you are. Calvin, don't make sense out of what I'm teaching you. Here's my advice to you. Just listen. Listen without wanting to understand. Just listen. Listen to the pauses, the gaps between my words. Listen. Don't try to take what you understand, what you believe in, and try to make it fit what I'm saying. Just listen. And don't want to understand. Understanding will come on its own. Understanding will blossom in you. As you listen quietly without arguing, without fighting, without push-pull, understanding will come. But it won't be the understanding of logic and reasoning. It will be the understanding that only the heart can render to you. The authentic heart. Not the human heart. The authentic heart. And when that starts to occur within a person, they're totally changed. They totally get, oh. Make no sense. Live your life in the senselessness of love. Please forgive me, Calvin. Namaste. Great question. Really, really good question. Very, I think he was being, in my opinion, very sincere. All right, here's the next one. What do we do with our relationships with our past? I have a great deal of difficulty dealing with my past. Carrie. And he doesn't tell me where he lives. The whole idea of relationships and the past, we tend to look at them as though they are the points of success or failure. We look at them as though we are living our life from the past and what we've accomplished or what we didn't accomplish. And our relationship to the past should be, to say the least, minimal. You need to understand what you've done, but you don't need to condemn what you've done. You need to look at how you're living your life right here in this part of your world. To go and not learn from your past would be, well, foolish. But to hold yourself to the past would be equally foolish. I never hold people to their past. When I meet someone that I've had a past with, I look at them as a brand new person. I look at them and think, what? Are you here today as a result of the new person you are via your past, you're learning from it? I always think that they've learned from their past, and probably that they have, hopefully, remorse for their past and not regret. Regret means whatever I did, I'd do it again. Remorse is more whatever I did, I could never do again. That kind of mentality. And I just listen and see, you know, what I'm dealing with. Who is this person? Are they a result of what they've done in their past? And is this a shame, guilt thing? Or there's no sincerity in shame and guilt. And there is also, I understand, the words "I'm sorry" don't mean much to people. Because in the human mind, the way we deal with things, people are locked in our ego, locked into our memory bank, locked into our fears if they've supposedly hurt us. But really, a lot of times we find out that what we thought hurt us had nothing to do really with the other person. It had to do with preconceived ideas, assumptions, all sorts of things that tell us, you know, this is what I should expect out of you, and you didn't measure up, or you didn't do what I thought you should do, blah, blah. People change. I've had plenty of people say to me in the course of my lifetime, you know, you did this, you did that, and it wasn't fair or wasn't right, but who are they to know what was fair and right? Who were they to know any of it? How did they know that what I was doing wasn't fair and right? And I'm sure you've had that too. It makes me kind of giggle because as if this person didn't misconstrue or bend and contort the whole thing and make it something it never was, only because they thought that it should be the way they thought it was. And it isn't. I would take everything in my past just lightly. And I wouldn't, if I were you, I really wouldn't, Casey, I wouldn't take it to human heart. But that's where it all derives from, the human heart. And when you live your life according to the human heart, you miss the value and the meaning and the substance and the beauty of yourself upon your own life. You do. You just miss it. So the best thing to do, you say, what should our relationship to our past be? It should be a sign that says to you, I know not what I do or did. I need to atone for what I did. And I can only do that through what I do. I need to apologize. And if I can't do that with a person, then I need to make amends through the way I live my life. I need to do things that are kind and loving out of the way. When somebody says, I'm sorry, what do they mean? I mean, how far will they go? Not to show me that they're sorry. That doesn't matter. But to live their life in a different way where whatever they thought they did that was unkind couldn't be done again. They would never do that again. Now, that is really being sorry. And if you're going to be sorry, then be authentic in being sorry and don't sit there and let your life turn into mush by not doing something different, by not giving back to the world. You could do something to help other people, be kind, work in a food line. There's all sorts of things you can do to donate your time as a point and reference of remorse. Once you start going down that avenue, that's a beautiful thing. That's something very, very important. And to do that is to show real remorse for what you've done and that you can liberate yourself from that remorse or that anger and that fear or that prejudice you've built about yourself through doing kind things for other people and really making it a lifestyle, making it the way you live, not a payback thing, but it now becomes the way you live. And to me, that is essential, to do things the way I live, do everything according to love. Carrie, a lot of people just try to avoid love at all costs. It's such a humbling experience to love, such a deeply humbling experience. And those who have not humbled themselves to reach love, they miss. Those who seek vengeance, they never reach love. Remember, the whole effort of this lifetime is to reach love. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, and here's the one. What is the you of me that you speak of all the time? And this is, this person wants to remain anonymous. Okay, so I'm not going to use their first name. If you were Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous, if you were to go into the you, who is this you? How do you know you have a you? How do you know you are you? How do you know? What is you? And what is this me? Does the me make the you? Does the you make the me? And who is this I when we talk about I did this or I'd like that or I whatever? Where does that come from? What are we talking about here? Well, if you really start to look at it from the point of view of your authentic heart, you will start to really see and realize that the persona of, in my case, the Gregory, well, it's what I call him. If you go into third person and discover this for yourself, live as though you're living with a stranger. Something that is a person you're only vaguely acquainted with. Just think of it that way. And if you can just look at this acquaintance without getting involved in the personality and the persona and all the garbage that goes along with that assumption, conjecture, bias. If you can just live with the you or the me that is vaguely familiar, but basically you don't know them and you're learning to know them. You're interested. You welcome it. You just watch. You just watch without prejudice. Well, when that starts to happen, you will develop what we call in the practice third person. And now you will recognize, oh, I was acting. I was in a play. And I was acting as, in my case, the Gregory. And he was silly here, he was unkind there, he was happy here, he was sad there, he made a choice here, made a choice there, blah, 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 blah. And you start to look at it, and if you can do it without judgment and bias towards judgment, you will come into a place where you start to authentically realize exactly what has been going on all of your life. It's an assumption that the ego and that the persona are attached to you and make up the you that you call me. And once that starts to awaken you ever so slightly, you will find all sorts of wonderful ways to accentuate it and stay in third person. It's easy to do. And you will no longer be the persona, the ego, the personality that you used to be. You will start to look at life from an entirely different point of view. Oh, I'm out of here already. I hope that helps you, Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous. And if it doesn't, write me back and tell me more, and I'll talk about it more. Thank you for listening. Thank you all for listening. Have a beautiful day. We'll be back on the air tomorrow, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.